You're the reason we're here. Jesus, may we encounter you today. May we experience you. Every person in this building, from the back to the front, to those ministering on the platform, may we encounter you, may we experience you. All is in vain. If we don't encounter you, Jesus, you're the reason for living. You give us life. You give us breath. May we experience you in greater dimension. Your width, your breadth, your depth. And this year like never before. We welcome you, Jesus. Become flesh. As your Son delivers your word. And dwell among us. As we hear your word. Help us to be doers. Help me, Jesus, to communicate clearly. And then help all of us to understand, to apply, and to do. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Father. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. It's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord for just a few moments. I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. Come on. Happy New Year. To all of our friends and family viewing online as well, Happy New Year. We want to welcome you. Thanks for tuning in. And can we welcome our online friends and family? From what I hear, we've got people not only watching locally who are shut-ins, but really all across the United States. And if not around the world, I'm sure that the news of what God is doing in the Youngstown region is going to be spread around the world and impact the nations. Amen? Amen. Well, Happy New Year, and I can see what some of you may be thinking. We've seen a Caucasian preacher before. We know what that's like. We've experienced an African-American preacher before. We know what that's like. But what in the world is a Puerto Rican preacher like? Well, it's kind of like this. You take a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and a Billy Graham, put them in a blender, and then put some salsa on top. Come on, somebody. Hey, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I love salsa. Yeah, I love salsa. And turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, right? Tell them the hotter, the better. Yeah, the hotter. I'm talking about the salsa, y'all. The hotter, the better. Hallelujah. Deidre and I began full-time ministry 21 years ago. I preached my first sermon at the age of 5. All that means is that I know less now than when I started. But I really did preach my first message, my first sermon at the age of 5. In fact, I've got a couple pictures to prove it behind me that you'll see here in just a moment. But that's me. And I don't know if you can see the 50-pound King James Bible that I'm carrying around. And yes, Mama would dress me up in a suit and vest. And I don't know where the tie went. It probably flew off while I was preaching. My poor sisters, they were the worship leaders. We did the offering. We did everything. But I preached my first sermon at the age of 5. Next picture will prove that. I preached it at the church where Jesus found my mom and dad, a small Hispanic church in Manhattan in New York City. And I remember the night before that Sunday, remember laying in bed at night and being so afraid because I was going to be speaking to adults the next morning. And remember getting out of my bed, walking into my parents' bedroom and tugging on my dad's t-shirt, him turning around and asking what I wanted, and me telling him, Dad, I'm afraid. I don't know what to say tomorrow. And he gave me advice that throughout my years, all the way up to yesterday, Saturday, I continue to do. And he said, Junito is what he calls me, him and my mom. Junito, go back to your bedroom, kneel by your bed, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and he'll teach you what to say. And so that next Sunday morning, I got up, and I preached on Jonah and the whale. And then I pointed my little five-year-old finger at the congregation, and I said, and there, Jonah's here today, and if you don't get right with God, he's going to send a whale and swallow you up. My mom and dad are here today, and so I'm going to ask them to stand. Mommy, Papi, stay standing for just a second. Thank you for loving God. Thank you for loving each other. Thank you for loving your children and your grandchildren. And thank you for the rich inheritance of faith that you have left us that will go on for generations to come. Gracias. Te amamos mucho, mami, papi. Te amamos. Gracias por tu amor a Dios, tu amor a ustedes, tu amor a nosotros, sus hijos, sus nietos. Y gracias por la rica injerencia de fe que nos has dado, que va a vivir por generaciones. Amén. Te amamos mucho. We love you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. We're all here today in these amazing facilities, worshiping God in this amazing worship center, because 40 years ago, God brought a man and a woman, and they challenged us with a question, and the question was, how big is your God? And for 40 years, we've answered that question with a resounding, our God is great. Our God is big. There is none better. There is none greater. And God has done some amazing things in these 40 years. As Bishop David and Pastor Kathy, God has used to impact a region and so many lives, of which my wife and I are two that are so eternally grateful for your influence and impact on our lives. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for teaching us how to love God completely, love others unconditionally, and love life enthusiastically. Let's thank God for the bishop and the mom of this house. Not too long ago, Bishop Thomas gave me a pair of his shoes. And I actually collect shoes, not just fashion stuff, but great men and women of God that God has used. I collect their shoes. I've got a pair of Bishop Thomas's. I got a pair of John Kilpatrick's, Reinhard Bonnke. I'm getting a pair of Billy Graham and Pastor Kathy. I'm working on those and. But the reason these are significant to me is because there's no article of clothing that has ever felt the weight of a man or a woman, especially the weight of a man or a woman when they're under the anointing. And so shoes are significant for me. Cinderella taught us that a pair of shoes can change your life. But these are Bishop Thomas's shoes, and I keep them in a place in my office where they're regarded and they're valued. And every now and then I'll take my shoes off and I'll try them on and put them on. And these are beautiful shoes. They're nice looking shoes. I don't know if you can tell, but they kind of even match my outfit. I could wear them, except there's a problem. They don't fit. And so I could wear them, but as I minister and as I maneuver, I will stumble. I will slip, I'll lose my footing, because I'm trying to wear somebody's shoes that weren't made for me. They look good, I honor them, I value them, but they're not my shoes, they're Bishop Thomas's shoes. I don't know if you'll let me, but if you don't mind, I think what God has called us to do is he's called us to take these shoes and continue to honor and continue to value and continue to treat with great respect and love. But God has called me to step into shoes that fit. step into shoes that when I walk, I won't stumble. And when I minister, I won't be confused. There's only one Bishop Thomas, and we thank God for that. But I could only be Juan Rivera. And thank God he only made one of them. Hallelujah. And so if you don't mind, we're going to take these shoes. And Bishop, we love you and honor you, but thank you to you and Pastor Kathy for allowing me to be me and my wife to be my wife and for us to be who God has called us to be during however long God has us here. We're believing for a lifetime, but only God knows. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Go ahead and turn to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, Jeremiah chapter 29. We're beginning a new series this month that's going to be dealing with alignment. We're going to be dealing with alignment. Because how many know that in the beginning of a year, every now and then, especially at the beginning of a year, there's some things that need alignment in our lives. If you drive a car, if you've ever driven it over a curb and knocked your tires off a little bit, you'll be driving down the road going 60, 70, 80 miles an hour down the freeway, and the car starts shaking, things start happening to that car, all because of a simple problem, and that is that your tires are not aligned. Those of you that visit the chiropractor regularly, you need a line, because there's a vertebrae in your back that's responsible for the pain you have in your hip, in your back, in your shoulder, in your neck. It's amazing all of the offshoots of pain that you can suffer because this one area in your life is not aligned properly. And so we're going to be looking at, throughout the rest of this month, we're going to be today focusing on faith, allowing God to align our faith. We're then going to be looking at family, we're going to be talking about finances, then we're going to be talking about friendships throughout the rest of this month. And so today we want to talk about faith and allowing God. What do I need? My back? Thank you, brother. I've got to look good, right? That's right. Thank you. I'm not used to seeing myself on the screen. Oh, there you go. I can see my face right there. How's that look? Is it all right? Are we doing okay? All right. A new year is a gift from God. It's God's way of saying, let's try that again. Do over. Fresh start. Let's begin again. And if you're like me, you enter a new year not only with resolution, but if you're like me, you also enter a new year with regret. Because you look back at the year that has been and you realize that there are moments and opportunities that you could have been better, you could have done better. You shouldn't have said this, you should have said that. You regret maybe that you weren't the best dad or the best mom or the best husband or the best follower of Jesus or the best employee or the best boss or whatever it is. We often look back with regret. But how many know you can't change your past, but with God's help you can change your future? And instead of getting hang up on what you can't change, let's begin to get excited that of what we can change and what we can do moving forward in this year of 2018 with God's help. Somebody give God praise for just a moment, because God's gonna help us. And so in 2018, here are our choices, because we all have choices. Say choices. We could either choose to live 2018 by default, how we always done it, kind of hoping that things will be different, kind of hoping that by that the end of 2018 I won't have as many regrets as I had at the end of 2017. We can live by default, or we can live by design. God's way. We can say, God, there are some principles and there are some things that you've made available to me that if I partner with you and allow you to partner with me, 2018, with all that it brings, the good, the bad, the ups and downs, the valleys, the mountains, no matter what it brings, I'll be able to wake up on the last day of 2018 knowing that I've done my part and God, you've been faithful to you, do your part. And we've lived a year by design instead of default in our faith, in our family, in our finances, and with our friendships. Amen? And so we're going to look at that. It's a choice. If we do it God's way, if we choose to do it God's way, and that's what we're going to look at today, some scriptures that will help us live life by design in 2018, then there's going to have to be some alignment taking place.
There's going to have to be some adjusting that God, we allow God to do in our lives. And so God has a part and you have a part. All right? Say, God has a part and I have a part. And we're going to look at that together. Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to begin with God's part. Here's what God will do. Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar scripture to many of you. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future." Now, these verses also have our part, but we're not going to look at that just yet. We're going to focus here at the beginning at God's part. God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and they're thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." If you're taking notes, then write this down. Number one, here's what I want you to understand, that God is for you. And we have these really amazing sermon notes, the Connect card, and if you don't have anything to write on, everyone should have one of these. If you're taking notes, I encourage you, write scriptures down. They'll be great to memorize throughout the week and throughout the month. But number one is God is for you. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's pretty simple." Yeah, but we don't live as though, and we don't act as though God is for us. Or it's easier to believe that God is for somebody else than it is to believe that God is for me. We all know that God is for a Pastor Kathy. I mean, she's like one of his favorites, right? It's easy to believe that. It's easy to believe that God is for sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. But if the enemy of your soul would want to do anything in your life to disrupt you, to give you a setback, to keep you stalled in life, is to have you believe that God is not for you and that God is against you. And so God is for me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "God is for me." Yeah, yeah. Now say like you mean it. Go. Your second choice neighbor, tell them. You've had practice with neighbor number one. Now neighbor number two, tell them, "God is for me." Yeah, God is for me. And throughout his word, God goes to great lengths to try to convince you that he is for you. Because if I don't, and I must not only embrace that and understand that with my head, I must receive that in my heart by revelation. That something has to happen, a transition has to happen in our lives where we embrace not only with our head but with our heart that God is for me. Because if you don't understand this basic principle that God wants us to get, that he knows the thoughts, that God has thoughts for you, and by the way, they're thoughts of good and not evil, they're thoughts of giving you a hope and a future because he's for you and not against you. If we don't understand that, we will be walking around in life crippled, walking around in life defeated, not knowing that we have to our advantage a God that we've already answered the question, he is big, he is great, and he can do some amazing things in your life in 2018 if you allow him access and believe him and take him at his word. Somebody give him praise for just a moment if you know that he's for you and that he's good. So God will go through great lengths to remind you and me that he's for us. He declared in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, "Fear not. Don't be afraid of this new year. Don't be afraid of the challenges that are coming up in this new year. Don't be intimidated by new. Don't be intimidated by the new relationship or the new occupation or the new job or the new business or the new family or the new baby or the new school year. Fear not, for I am with you." I'm telling you that the greatest promise that you and I can embrace in our lives as we move forward is the promise of God's presence. Out of all the promises in His Word, I don't know of any greater promise than the promise, not the promise of not having trouble, because God never promised that. Not the promise of not ever going through anything, because God never promised that. But the promise that no matter what I go through, no matter what I face in life, come hell or high water, I've got a God that will never leave me, will never forsake me. He'll see me through the fire. He'll see me through the flood. He'll be with me. And the promise of His presence is enough. Some of you, the only reason you're here in your right mind, seated, sane, and dressed normally and talking normally and alive is because God's promise in your life has been true. You've gone through some stuff, but bless God, His promise to never leave you has kept you from losing your mind when you would have lost it a long time ago. I know you're getting a witness. Come on, somebody. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. How many thank God that in this new year that there is someone that's going on ahead of us? There's somebody that's already been about to where we're going to be. You know, I need to embrace, I'm preaching this. Actually, I could have titled this, What I Say When I Preach to Myself. Right? I could have titled this message, What I Say When I Preach to Myself. And I'm in a season of constant reminding myself, God is with me. God is for me. God goes before me. Because I've been introduced into a season and into an assignment that I've got news for you. If you thought that, oh, Juan's got it together and he's the right fit and he's got the right this and the right that, I've got news for you. I can't do this. I'm not that good. I'm not that cute. I'm not that smart. I'm not that anything. But here's what I know. I'm still the little boy that gets up in the midnight hour on a Saturday night saying, Father, I'm afraid. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm doing. So God, I need you to help me. And I still kneel by my bed and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me. I need you to lead me. And then all of a sudden, I get this promise, this reality in my spirit and in my heart that I am for you and not against you. I go before you. And I just thank God that whatever it is that we're going to face together, that God's already been there. He's prepared a way. He's made a way. He's gone before. And friends, He's a good God and He will do great things. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, you're thinking, so is this how He's going to be every week? Well, the Bible says we boldly say stuff. Boldly say. When the devil comes after you, he doesn't come just whispering and just soft and all cute. He goes around like a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. And every now and then, God will place a man or woman in your life that will declare with the anointed roar of God to scare back devils and to scare back and beat back demons that have been trying to come after your life. And so yeah, I get excited every now and then. Some say it's the Latino thing. You know, because we do stuff. I mean, we took dancing and we turned it into something of another world. Yeah. Right? Some say it's the two caramel macchiatos I had before service. Or it's just I'm excited. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And I like this. What can man do to me? Right? What can man do to me? In Numbers chapter 13, Moses sends out 12 spies to go spy out the promised land. Spy out the land that God had promised to the children of Israel. And these 12 spies were to go out and to survey it and to bring back a report of all that was in it, to bring back strategy, to bring back confirmation of a lot of the things that God had already said, that there you will find houses to live in that you did not build, vineyards that you did not plant, a spacious land, a land that will respond to you when you get there, and so many wonderful things. But God forgot to leave out the details of the giants and the trouble and the stuff that was there. Although he did tell them, be of good courage, do not be afraid. And so these 12 spies go out to survey their future, to survey what will be, to survey what God has said. And then the Bible says that they come back, and two come back, Joshua and Caleb, with a good report. But 10 out of the 12, they come back, and they affirm everything that Joshua and Caleb says. Yes, it flows with milk and honey. Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, there's vineyards. Yes, but they come back, and they have additions. But there's giants in the land. There are things that they're just too big for us. And so they come back with this report, and here's the problem. It's not that the 10 painted a picture of reality. It's that the 10 did not embrace the truth and the promise that the two had embraced. It's not like Joshua and Caleb were just kind of clueless. They saw the same giants. They saw the same problems that laid before them, the same issues. But they had embraced in their heart, not just in their mind, a promise that I'm trying for all of us to embrace here this morning, is that God is for us. If these 10 would have understood that the game changer in life, the game changer as you move forward in life, the game changer in this new year is the promise. It's the promise. It's the reality that God is for us. They would have understood that the land was theirs for the taking. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who will be against us? Come on, somebody. If God is for us, what giant, what obstacle, what hurdle, what fear, what barrier? If God be for us, what past, what failure, what defeat, what setback, what loss? If God be for us, what devil, what demon, what curse, what gossip, what lie, what witch, what hex, what soothsayer? If God be for us, what negative report? What disease? Come on, somebody. If God be for us, who will be against us? And you've got to go through life with this. People look at you sideways because you should not be where you're at your age at this time. You should not be where you're at because you didn't come up the way everybody else came up. And they'll look at you sideways. But the secret that the world will hear is that I didn't do it on my own. The hidden factor of your success and your ability to win in your family, in your finances, in your faith, with friendships, at your job, in this new year, is the fact that you embrace with your heart, my God, God is for me. I don't need the consensus of everybody else. I don't need you to make the journey with me. I want you to, but I don't need all the trappings and all the people that I think will get me to where I need to be. I just need to hold on to one promise. God, if everyone leave me or forsake me, if my mother and father leave me and forsake me, as long as I know that at the end of the day, when I lay my head down on a pillow, you'll never leave me or forsake me, I could take on whatever giant, whatever future lies ahead of me. With you, I can do all things. Your father gets great joy when he sees you overcoming, when he sees you moving forward in life. He gets great joy when he sees you winning at your job and in your family and in your finances. It's not in his heart to hurt you. He wants to help you. He gets great joy when he sees his children overcoming and living fearless and taking risks. He applauds your swings and misses. He takes great joy when you walk and live a life of faith that's spelled R-I-S-K, risk. At the end of the day, I want God to be able to go to God with, yeah, I made some mistakes, but you know what? I got up there and I took a risk Because I believe that you were with me and that you're bigger than anything that I would face in life. And although I may have missed really bad, I want to know that I put it all out there. I want to live life by design, not by default. Not by default. So this is his promise. But can I tell you that his promises are not automatic? Bishop, Pastor Kathy, you guys know that. What God has done here. You didn't just wake up one morning and poof. His promises are not automatic. And a lot of times we live life, we'll hear a message like this, and we understand that God has a part, but we fail to understand that we have a part. And we think that hocus, and see, that's living life by default. That's beginning 2018, believing that somehow, some way, God in his goodness, he'll just bless my faith, my finances, my family, my friendships, he'll just, because he's good, he'll just do it. No, he has a part, and he's faithful to do his part, but you have a part. I have a part. And so here's point number two. If you're taking notes, write this down. Point number two. If you're taking notes, write this down. There's only two points to this simple message today. Number one is God is for you. Number two, make progress, not promises. Here's why that's important. Here's why that's important. Because promises demand performance. Progress requires faith. It requires a faith to know that God is good, that he is for you, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So this year, here's what you're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to make promises. We're going to make progress. We're not going to say, God, I promise. God has had it up to here with our promises. And so have we. So some of us, we've stopped making promises in the new year because we know, right? We know. And so we're not making promises. We're making progress. What's that mean? We're taking next steps. We're taking steps towards God. We're saying, God, I'm not going to make promises to you this year. The only promise I'm going to embrace is the promises that you've made. And so as you've made promises over me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make progress towards you. Let's look at the rest of Jeremiah chapter 29 to see our part. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Remember, the first part, verse 11, was God's part. God said, I'm for you. I'm with you. Here's verse 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So verse 11 was God's part. Hey, I'm for you. I'm with you. I've got plans for you. I've got thoughts and intents in my heart for you in 2018. That's God's part. But they're not automatic. God is not going to arbitrarily just drop blessing bombs on your life. You can't be doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results in 2018. In your family, in your life, in your finances, with your friendships, God has a promise for you. He is for you. But then here's our part. Our part is, then we will make progress towards you. We will seek you. We will seek you. We will find, we will call, go and pray to you and listen to you. What's that mean? That means having time with God where you're communicating. And for some of us, our next step, our progression is actually putting into our schedule time with God. How do you do that, Pastor Juan? The same way that I schedule an appointment with my pastor or with a staff member, I'll take my phone, I'll look at my calendar, I'll put the date and the time and who I'm meeting with. It's the same way that I set my schedule an appointment with God. And so if someone calls and says, Pastor, somebody wants to meet with you, I don't care who it is. If I'm meeting with God, there's no more important meeting than my meeting with God. And so I put it in my schedule. I make time to meet with God. And for some of us, that's our next step. It's deciding that at the beginning of this year, I'm going to begin to align areas of my life that have been off. And so I know that God has His part. And so my part is to begin to make progress. And for some of us, that means actually beginning to set God in our calendar and in our lives and, spending time with Him, seeking and praying. Here's the blessing. You will search for me with all of your heart. And look at verse 14. And we're going to land the plane. I love verse 14. God has His part. He's for us. We have our part. We're going to make progress. We're going to take next steps toward Him. Verse 14 says, I will be found by you. His part. Hey, I'm for you. I got you. I've got stuff in 2018. That the ups and downs, it's all a big mixture, but at the end of the day, they're thoughts of good and not evil. They're the thoughts of prospering you and blessing you and you coming out and all, that's His part. My part, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to make progress. I'm going to take next steps towards you. Verse 14, you will be found. I will be found by you. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be a man. I want to be a dad. I want to be a husband. I want to be a friend. I want to be a pastor. And then I want us to be a church where God says, I've been found by you. I want to be a church that says, I've been found by you. Somebody has found me on the earth, in this region, in this spot. Somebody has found me. They've tapped into, they've progressed, and they've found me. And I'm telling you, it's a difference when you encounter a man or a woman that God says, they've been found by me. They found me. They've sought me out, and they found me. And listen to the end of that verse. And I will bring you back from your captivity. My heart today, as your pastor, as we begin this year, my prayer this week, this month, as we will look at family, we'll look at finances, we'll look at our relationships, is knowing that although we all come in here and we look good and we do our best to just play the part and some of us, we're just barely holding it together. 2017 has really taken our breath away. And there's so much that has just been turned upside down. We just don't know. We don't know. And my heart for you, my prayer for you throughout this next month is that there's areas in our lives where we're incarcerated in those areas. There's captivity. There's no freedom. There's no sense of growth. There's no sense of enlargement. There's no sense of the kiss of God on it. There are dark areas of our lives that we stay away from because they're in captivity. And we don't go there. And the worst thing to be is a man or woman set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet having areas of our lives in captivity. Because we're literally living in prisons without any locks. It's so frustrating to be there, to be free in our spirit, but our souls and our bodies and our relationships and our marriages and our finances, when God's best for you is that He wishes that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. Spirit, soul, body. God's best for you is not only for you to be saved and get a ticket to heaven, but be miserable and in captivity in your marriage and in your relationships and in your finances and in your health. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but God's word over you is that he will do his part. He'll be faithful to you. If we make progress, take steps toward him, we will find him, and he will release us from our captivity. He'll set us free. Some of you, your praise has been in captivity. This year, God is going to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, as he begins to set men and women free, all because we've taken him at his word and we've made progress. We've taken steps. So here's what we're going to do. We want to pray for you. Because everyone here has a next step. Everyone here has a next step. I have a next step. You have a next step. For some of you, your next step is simply committing with your family. Hey, we're going back next Sunday. We're going to go back next Sunday and hear what Pastor has to say about aligning our family in this new year and living life by design and not by default. So for some of you, that's your next step. Simple. You're going to come back next week. For others of you, your next step is to join a community group. You've been coming for some time, and now it's time for you to start connecting with others. And as beautiful and as wonderful as Sunday morning is, much of the connecting that we do is the back of that person's head in front of you. But in community groups, we're meeting in circles, not in rows. And it's face to face. It's building relationships. It's learning God's word. So for some of you, that's your next step. And I believe community groups start this week. It's joining a community group. For some of you, it's joining a serve team. It's joining a team where you serve, where you give. For others of you, it's taking time at the beginning of the week, beginning of your day, and spending time with God, increasing that time with God, praying, reading his word. It's finding out, hey, when are the prayer times at Victory Christian Center where I can just go and meet with people and pray? But then there's others of you, your next step is coming into a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ. That's your next step. It's saying, I'm far from God. My heart's not right with him, and I want to enter into a relationship with God through his son Jesus. For some of you, that's your next step. And you can make that next step and take that next step today. Here's what we're going to do. We want to pray for all of you. We want to pray for all of you. In fact, I want our prayer team, those of you that help us pray, I want you to come right now and just go ahead and position yourself at the altar here. We're going to close in just a few moments. Just a couple minutes, we're going to close. So if our prayer team, as they're coming, I want everyone looking at me. Everyone looking at me. This is our prayer team, and they've been trained to just pray for people. So here's how this is going to happen. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite my wife up, Bishop Thomas and Pastor Kathy up, and we're going to pronounce a blessing over all of you. In fact, I've written out a blessing for you for 2018, and I'm going to declare that over you. And then after that blessing, Pastor Ben is going to lead us in one last worship song. And at that time, you're going to be able to stand to your feet and come forward and receive prayer for any reason. If you're here today and you need prayer for any reason, we want to pray for you. You don't have to be a member of Victory Christian Center to receive prayer. You don't even have to be a bad person to receive prayer. We all need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. And so if you're here today and you need prayer for any reason, your finances, your health, if you were to ask the Holy Spirit the question, what are you saying to me today through this message? He'll speak to you and he'll reveal things in your life. And maybe you just need somebody to encourage you or to believe with you in prayer. Maybe there's an area of your life where you're in captivity and it's hard to break free from it. We want to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus. But you're going to want to get up here in just a moment at the end of this blessing. And you're going to want to join all of the others that are coming down. You won't be alone. You're going to want to come up to one of these folks up here at this altar and just simply say to them, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. And they'll lead you in a very simple prayer and give you some next steps. If that's you here today, then we want you to come at the end of this blessing. I want to invite, honey, would you come? Bishop Thomas, Pastor Kathy, would you come? I want all of us to go ahead and stand. Hey, Mama, did we do okay today?
You were awesome today.
Love you. Thank you. Love you, Dad. Love you. Mom and Dad, if you guys can come and stand here, honey, if you can come. I'm going to declare this blessing over all of you. At the end of this blessing, my wife and I, and possibly the Thomases as well, we're going to sneak out this way and try to be in the foyer where we can meet some of you we've never met before. Those of you that we've known, we haven't seen you for a while, we'd love to see you, love to greet you. That's what we're going to do, but many of you, you're going to come up and receive prayer because the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Holy Spirit is ministering, he's challenging you, and you're going to make progress, not promises. You're going to take a step of faith. And whatever you need prayer for, we want to pray for you here this morning. I'm believing God for miracles at this altar. Many people that are here believe in God for your breakthrough today. And so keep your eyes open. This is a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you in your new year. I bless you for the Spirit to lead you each step of this new year. That he will guide your decisions and turn your hearts to deeply desire him above all else. That God will open doors needing to be opened and close the ones needing to be closed shut tight. That God will help you to release your grip on the things to which you said no, not yet, or wait. That you would pursue him first above every dream and desire you've put within your hearts. I bless you with wisdom for God's strength and power to be constantly present with you. That God will make you strong and courageous for the road ahead, giving you ability beyond what you feel able. Let his gifts flow freely through you so that he would be honored by your lives and others would be drawn to him. I bless you with God's keeping, that he would keep you far from the snares and traps of temptation. That he will whisper in your ear when you need to run and whisper in your heart when you need to stand your ground. I bless you with his protection over your families and friends and finances, that his hand would cover you and keep you distanced from the evil intent of the enemy, that he would be a barrier to surround you, that you'd be safe in his hands, that he would give you discernment and insight beyond your years, to understand his will, hear his voice, and know his ways. I bless you that God would make all things new in your heart, in your minds, in your lives for this coming year, that he would refresh you. May his voice be stronger than the enemy's lies, that his word would be your defense and rear guard, keeping your way clear, removing the obstacles and covering the pitfalls. I bless you that the Lord leads you on level ground, that God will provide for your every need, bless you with grace and favor. I bless you that everything written in heaven about you would come to pass, that others would take notice of God's goodness and cannot help but to say, these are the ones that the Lord has blessed. May you be lovers of truth. May the fruit of his Spirit be evident in your lives. His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May you make a difference in the world for His glory and purposes. May all His plans succeed. To Him be glory and honor in this new year together. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need prayer for any reason, God is speaking to you. We want you to come. We want to pray for you this morning. God bless you.